exegetical brief is Matthew 24, 29-31, interpreted figuratively or literally, Paul E. Zell. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly powers will be shaken. The sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. With a mighty trumpet blast he will send forth his angels, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Matthew 24, verses 29-31. A masterful communicator, Jesus used figures of speech. Those who study the Gospels are accustomed to his metaphors, similes, and parables, and appreciate how they bring the truth to life. Yet might some readers impose figurative meaning where the Lord had no such intention? That appears to have occurred with a passage recorded midway through the 24th chapter of St. Matthew. Over the centuries, a handful of exegetes have taken Matthew 24, verses 29-31, in a figurative sense. But with Bible commentaries of recent vintage, this interpretation is on the rise. It is time to give the passage a closer look. Going back to chapter 21, St. Matthew has been recalling the events of Holy Tuesday. It was a contentious day, to say the least, what with the scribes and Pharisees challenging Jesus' authority again and again. He deflected their every attack. When they could no longer say a thing in reply or ask him more questions, Jesus pronounced 7 woes against these hypocrites, and he lamented Jerusalem's refusal to repent. As the Lord was walking away from the temple complex, his disciples drew his attention to the impressive structures. We hear this exchange. He answered them, "You see all these, don't you? Truly I say to you, in this place there will not remain one stone upon another. Not one stone which will not be thrown down." When Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the consummation of the age? Tasemaion tes seis parousias kai syntelias tu ionas." Matthew 24, verses 2 and 3. The disciples' two questions would prompt a distinctly two-part answer. At least, that is what several recent interpreters maintain. As they see it, Jesus' statements in Matthew 24, verses 4-35, focus exclusively on the warnings and signs preceding his second coming, while what he says afterwards, starting at verse 36, spotlights the second coming itself. To put that another way, verses 4-35 comprise Jesus' answer to the disciples' second question, "What will be the sign?" Then, in Matthew 24, verse 36, till 25, verse 46, he answers their first question, "When will these things be?" This approach to Jesus' words is appealing, if for no other reason than that it appears to be straightforward. It makes outlining these two chapters of St. Matthew a much simpler task, yet it stumbles badly at verses 29-31. Since this entire section describes events prior to Jesus' second coming, they deduce, then at verses 29-31, Jesus must still be speaking about the destruction of the temple. And if that is the case, then there is no other way to take these three verses except as figurative language predicting that terrible act in history that would vindicate his authority as the Son of Man. Consider the following details, they write. Verse 29. Oitheos, immediately. The events of this passage must follow directly upon the abomination bringing desolation to the Jerusalem temple, verse 15. The sun will be darkened, etc. In the writings of David and the prophets, such vivid descriptions of disturbances in nature and the cosmos were always to be understood figuratively. See Psalm 18, verses 7-15, Jeremiah 4, verses 23-28, Ezekiel 32, verses 7 and 8, Amos 8, verse 9, Joel 2, verse 10, verses 30 and 31, Joel 3, verse 15, and especially Isaiah 13, verses 6-13. Likewise here, with dramatic pronouncements upon the sun, moon, stars, and the heavenly powers, Jesus portrays God's judgment upon his enemies. Verse 30, "The Son of Man in heaven," as some translate. will give the sign to Samaian that he is now exalted to the right hand of the Father. How will he do this? By bringing about the destruction of Jerusalem and its temple. When they see his powerful judgment over against apostate Israel, quote, all the tribes of the land, unquote, will mourn. Verse 31, having punished hardened Jerusalem, her children were unwilling to be gathered, the Son of Man will send forth his messengers to the Gentiles. They will preach the gospel to all nations and gather his elect from heaven and earth's remotest reaches. The difficulties in this approach to Matthew 24 begin with an untenable division of subject matter. Granted, at verse 3, the disciples asked a twofold question, but they had one objective in mind. They wanted to know when the temple would be destroyed. Like so many Israelites, they figured that could happen only when the Messiah appeared with power and great glory to bring about the consummation of this age. The one could not happen without the other, they reasoned. Jesus, in turn, answered with one objective in mind, not so much having to do with the temple as with the unknowable timing of the consummation of the age. Quote, about that day and hour, unquote, he would say, quote, no one knows, so keep watch. Verses 36 to 42. The temple and its priestly system were to become obsolete. Our great high priest would soon offer the once-for-all sacrifice and lay down his own life. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Matthew 27, verse 51. The holy place had served its purpose. Instead, the Lord would take up his temple in the hearts of believers and prepare them for the day of his return in glory. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him. Matthew 24, verse 44. As to the actual Samaian of his arrival, Jesus said, see that no one deceives you. Matthew 24, verse 4. False Christs and false apostles would appear, but they would not be the sign. There would be wars, famines, and earthquakes. Persecutions and hatred would come. The love of many will grow cold, he said. Yet these too would not be the sign of his appearance. Jesus foretold the abomination bringing desolation, that which was spoken by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place. Chapter 24, verse 15. Indeed, that would be a time of unsurpassed distress for the Christians residing in Judea, and it would foreshadow the trials endured by all who enter the kingdom of God. Still, those would not be the sign that the Messiah has come for the completion of all things. That portion of the disciples' twofold question received a direct answer at verses 29 to 31 as follows. Verse 29, the events of this passage follow directly upon those Jesus described from verses 4 to 25. Nevertheless, we recognize that Jesus did not say how long the temple would be left desolate. According to St. Luke, he foretold that Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Luke 21, verse 24. Meanwhile, the voices of false Christs and false prophets will be heard, and there will be wars, famines, earthquakes, and persecutions for an unspecified period of time. Then, immediately, oitheos, after the distress of those days, the Creator will suspend the laws of nature, and his created order will dissolve. As noted above, what Jesus said on Holy Tuesday is very similar to expressions used by David and the prophets. Yet their figurative expressions for those terrible times in history, when mighty God would visit destruction upon the impenitent, also point to what Jesus is saying will happen quite literally at his return. By his vivid prediction of the day of the Lord, the ungodly are warned of the eternal implications of their impenitence. At the same time, the penitent find great comfort in words that fulfill Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14, and that Jesus would repeat at Matthew 25, verse 31. Jesus' statements, as recorded by St. Luke, are most convincing. They give the reader of verses 29 to 31 no choice but to understand this passage literally. Quote, there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is near. Luke 21, verses 25 and 26, verse 28 from the NIV. Verse 30, the prepositional phrase en urano, in the sky, is to be translated adverbially, as prepositional phrases almost always are. Modifying the verb phanesetai, Jesus is telling his disciples where the sign of his coming will appear. The genitive tu huiu tu anthropu is epexegetical or appositional to ta semaian, indicating that the sign his disciples will see is the Son of Man himself. The second half of this verse makes this abundantly clear. What the two angels uttered to his disciples after his ascension confirms it. Acts 1, verse 11, as do St. John's words at Revelation 1, verse 7. You won't miss it, Jesus is saying. The Son of Man himself will appear in the sky. What a sight that will be. It will bring immense delight to the faithful, while all the tribes of the earth will mourn at the arrival of the one they rejected. Verse 31. The noun angelos is used about 20 times in St. Matthew. All but one is a reference to those holy angels whom God created to serve him and his elect. Here the noun is once again taken according to its usual sense. With a mighty trumpet blast at the resurrection of all the dead, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, his angels will be sent forth to gather the elect from all nations, Matthew 28, verse 18. Since Jesus used it so frequently, figurative language abounds in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, yet certainly not in Matthew 24, verses 29 to 31. Here his words are to be taken literally, much to the joy and edification of those who are watching for his coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory.